Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's gospel lesson includes the very popular miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. In this miracle, we get to see a picture of Jesus' great power as he is able to feed more than 5,000 people when given only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now he takes what he is given and multiplies it. Everyone gathered around, thousands upon thousands of hungry followers were fed to being full. No one left hungry. And there were leftovers, too. 12 baskets were filled with bread and fish. Jesus had provided more than enough for those who were hungry. This miracle shows us just how easy it is for God to provide. And Jesus didn't just feed a select few. All who were there ate and were filled. Now that throng of people was made up of Jesus' followers, but also those who were simply following the crowd. And it also included many whom Jesus had just healed. Prior to this miracle, Jesus had heard the tragic news of his cousin's murder, his cousin being John the Baptist. And so Jesus withdrew himself from the crowds. And he did so not out of fear, but because his time of confronting his enemies was not yet. But even such withdrawing away from the crowds was not enough to keep them away. So Matthew paints the scene for us. It was a remote location, away from the busyness, the hustle and bustle of the Galilean populace. But still, the crowds found their way to Jesus, and the sick included. So we see then in our mind's eye the blind stumbling along out into the wilderness, those plagued with fever, bodies racked with aches and chills, left their comfortable beds and journeyed into the wild. Paraplegics convinced their caretakers to take them up out into the middle of nowhere. So looking out over this great crowd of hurting people, Matthew tells us very clearly that Jesus had compassion on them. We don't see this word used too often in our texts, and so we pay special attention when it is used. Jesus has compassion on these people. He felt deep sympathy for them. He felt sorry for them in their sad conditions. And he even possessed a strong desire to help free them from their suffering. While it is common for us as men and women to feel compassion for other human beings, Matthew here shows us God's compassion for his creation. The Savior of the world, the Savior of all creation, with that purpose in mind to come to save, looked and saw the effects of sin. He beheld with his own eyes the sad state of creation. And he took that opportunity yet again to reveal his great work of bringing in the reign of heaven to earth. Jesus, the Savior, had compassion on his fellow man, the creation of his Father, and he healed them. He restored to them the health that they were supposed to enjoy in God's creation. Jesus undid the effects of sin, if only for a time. But in that great healing, Jesus does more than just restore health. He announces for all to see and for all to hear that God is at work of redeeming creation, buying it back from sin, and he is doing that through Jesus himself. Now, following then, those great miracles of healing out in the wilderness, another chance arises for Jesus to reveal this great reign of God to his people. And that same crowd, still out in the wilderness, far from their homes, and far from any access to food, starts to make their hunger, at the end of the day, known. The disciples of Jesus were feeling this as well, taking stock of their situation and realizing that there is indeed a lack of food. They counseled Jesus to send the crowds away, have them go into the villages far and get something to eat. A logical conclusion, indeed, but one that does not factor into it Jesus. Jesus, who has just shown his great power over sin, over sickness, over even death. For it is this Jesus who has just shown great power over the frailties of humanity, who is the same God that provided manna for those disciples' forefathers back in the wilderness. But the disciples do not see it. They do not grasp the fullness of the deity present in this Jesus. Their faith is so little and so weak that they do not even consider what Jesus is capable of doing. Now, such weak faith destroys us too. When we find ourselves in trying times, we do not always take such matters readily to our God. We fail to bother him with our minute requests. Now, sometimes we can feel that we can handle things and that we do not need God's help. Other times, we may think that God does not want to bother with our trivial matters. And still other times, we may find ourselves thinking that our troubles are too great, that our sins are too bad for God to help. So we find ourselves too ashamed to even utter these sins and weaknesses to our God. All of these plagues of our faith are results of our sinful selves. And the devil and his minions find it easy then to play on those weaknesses, and our faith struggles more and more. But in steps the Word of God, repeating for us the words and actions of Jesus Christ for us. And not just repeating words in a way that we might repeat something to someone else when they couldn't hear what we said. But instead, those words are the Word of God. They are living. They are active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It is the Word of God that creates faith in us and sustains that faith in us. It is that Word of God that never changes and that is always true. Jesus had compassion on the crowds. He has compassion on us too. Jesus feels for us, not just as a fellow man, but as God. He too longs for the day when all of our sufferings, when all of our pains in body, mind, emotions, spirit, and soul are taken clear away. And Jesus has guaranteed that that is reality for us. That is our future. And he will usher in that great reality when he returns on the great and last day. When he will return as the perfect human being that he is even now, free from corruption, free from pain, suffering, sin, and death. And he will take us with him to be like that, to be like him, and to be with him forever. That is the identity that we have in Jesus Christ through our baptism into him. We bear the mark of his cross upon us. We are redeemed by Christ the crucified. And we can never hear that too much. And no amount of sin can't ever take that away. No level of sin can tarnish that salvation. No weakness of faith can ever take away the Savior's great compassion for us as his people. Jesus knows truly and deeply what it is that we need. And he gives us what we need each and every day. He feeds us the bread and wine of his supper, which is his very body and blood. He causes his living word to be preached faithfully among us time and time again so that we can hear it and believe. Jesus shows us time and time again all that he has done for us so that we can be sure of his love for us that does not ever pass away. The God who fed manna to the Hebrews in the wilderness is our God. The God who invites us to the eternal banquet where we can buy food and drink without price is our God. The God who fed thousands with bread and fish is our God. The God who feeds Christians throughout all generations, the very body and blood of Jesus in bread and wine is our God. The God who has compassion on us as sinners is our God. The one true God, the only God. He is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He has filled our hungry souls with good things by his own death and resurrection. Jesus has indeed provided for us forgiveness and mercy more than enough. And he will come again in glory on that last day to judge the living and the dead, to announce full pardon and peace for us, and to fulfill the promise of his true compassion that we shall be with him forever. Amen. And now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.